Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
And so when I looked at victorious living, the church has taught victorious living often from a standpoint of selfishness. Until people begin to focus on their status in life, their resources in life, their connection in life, and all of a sudden they bring it to the church and they define victorious living as if, look at me, look how I live. Look at where I stay. Look at what I've acquired. That is not victorious living when we look in the lens of the scripture. And so a more biblical definition of victorious living is living with a biblical outlook that focuses on God's plans for mankind and adapting one's lifestyle in harmony with that outlook, while trusting God's grace to fulfill his promises in this present world and the world to come. Jesus lived victoriously when he was in the earth. Was he materialistically rich? No. Was he popular in the sight of the world? No. The Bible says the world hated him. The world rejected him. But yet Jesus lived victoriously because he fulfilled the plans of the Father. He adapted his lifestyle to those plans, and he trusted the Father to do what he promised him he would do. That's what victorious living looked like. And so we shared some foundational things, and we said that living victoriously means living with a faith consciousness of God's grace during my earthly time. Saints, we're all products of grace. I don't care what your role is in the body of Christ. You can be the apostle or bishop or whatever you want to call yourself. We're all products of God's grace. The second thing we said, living with the freedom from past painful experiences with a healed heart. If we all could go back into the history book of our life journey, I'm sure there are some pages, if it was up to us, we would rip out and wish it had never happened to us. But the reality is that in this life, we will have experiences that can literally break our hearts. People will hurt you. And I found out that in the world we're living in, hurt people hurt people. So we all need to be healed. And once we are healed, we no longer live our life rehearsing the pain of what somebody did to us, whatever happened to me as a child. But now I begin to talk about the healing balm of Gilead, that God healed me. He didn't allow me to die in that painful state. Whether it was emotional pain, psychological pain, physical pain, whatever, God bind up the brokenhearted. Then we say we have to live with the posture of the future that keeps Christ as the target. In other words, we say it like this, keep your eyes on Jesus. How many know that's the way you got to live this life? You can't put your eyes on a person. You can't put your eyes on things and money. You got to keep your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to move in another area of victorious living in this present world, because it's not living with the comforts and conveniences that is often portrayed by false teachers, even in the body of Christ. But it is an understanding of the reality of our temporal time in this present world and our heavenly citizenship. I know we got to balance the two. That we don't know when we're going to leave this earth, but I believe God, because he knows the in from the beginning, from the moment that we are birthed, he knows exactly when we will leave and how we will leave. We may call it a tragedy or whatever name we want to put on it, but we all come into this earth, I believe, from God's perspective, because he's omniscient. He's the only one that knows everything. And therefore, I believe God already knows not only my birth date, but the date that I will exit out of this earth. Therefore, it behooves me to trust God for every day. And when we are living in this earth, we are living out of the power of God's kingdom and the authority against all opposing conflict. Notice, we're living out of the power of God's authority And we're also living against the opposing opposition that comes against our life. How many know we have a real enemy? So victory comes through battles. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. I want to unpack this that we have right here in verses 1 through 11 that John the Revelator gives us in his vision of a spiritual battle. Say spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle. This is not a human battle, a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle that occurs during the midpoint of the tribulation period. It is during a period of time in which Satan, who is the defeated foe, when we say defeated foe, is he's already been defeated by Jesus at Calvary, but he does not accept defeat. You ever see somebody lose the fight but don't want to say they lost the fight? Well, that's the devil. He's a defeated foe, but he will be given a lease in which he launches an all-out attack against mankind, specifically Israel, during the mid-tribulation period. Yet they are to find their victory through the blood, through the word, and a surrendered life. These three ingredients are not just for Israel during the tribulation period, but these three ingredients are what Christians use today to overcome our enemy. The blood, the word, and a surrendered life. There are lessons we can learn as John reveals what he saw by a vision in the spirit realm. And the first one we can learn is this. Victorious living take place in the spiritual realm with spiritual forces. Now, saints, to be spiritual is not to be weird. The only people who think we are weird are people who are not spiritual. The Bible says the natural man, or the man or woman that's not born again, that does not know the word of God, they do not understand spiritual things. So when it comes to the church, I've done it before I got saved. I judged or I mocked spiritual things because I was ignorant of the word of God. But the reality is that victorious living take place in the spiritual realm with spiritual forces. So in Revelation, John's vision reveals a conflict that occurs in heaven. Who would think a place of peace and perfectness could have conflict? It's not the conflict in heaven, but the cunning, crafty spirit creature who, for whatever reason, appears to have access to heaven even after his initial dethroning. See, we have to go through the lens of the Bible, because in verse number 7 of Revelation 12, this is John's vision in the spirit realm. He said, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angel fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven. This is in the spirit realm. This dragon, we find out who he is. The Bible says this dragon is the devil or Satan. Isaiah 14, the prophet, gives us insight on some activity that happened in heaven before we even came on the scene. In Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, listen to this. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. That's the devil, that's Satan. His original abode was where? In heaven. Son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground. You who weaken the nations. Notice, the one who what? Who deceived nations. When the Bible speaks of nations, it's talking about people. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol or hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. This angel, Satan, Lucifer, decides that he's going to exalt himself. I mean, that same spirit comes in the church. That same spirit worked among the disciples. Lord, who is the greatest among us? What's that? That's the spirit of Satan. Even in the church, when you look in the Old Testament, Korah had a role in the church, but Korah wanted to be like Moses. Y'all see that spirit? Self-exaltation. I can't stay in my place, in my lane, in the body. I want to be like the pastor. I'm showing the spirit of self-exaltation. God can raise you up. God can do whatever he want to do in our lives. But when we exalt ourselves, it comes with pride. And all the fixing will be joined with it. So that was his original play. But the Bible say he was what? Cast down. But when we look at Job, we see that in the Bible, Satan still have access to heaven. Because in Job chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, listen to this. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. These are angels. These are angelic beings. And Satan came also, what? Among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence come thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking, what? Up and down it. Isn't that what the devil doing? He's going to and fro, seeing whom he can devour. But he has access not only in the earth realm, but he has access where? In the throne room of God. He shows up with the other angels. And in Job chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says this. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Again, this is in the spirit realm. It's making reference to angels. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down. How many know, before Satan asked for permission to come against Job's life, how many know he went to heaven and dialogued with God to get permission? So even though he was cast out, he still have access into heaven. Now, in Zechariah chapter 3 confirms this as well. The Bible said, this is the prophet, verse 1 and 2. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. Now, Joshua represents Israel here. And Satan, what? Standing at his right hand to do what? To accuse him. I want you to get the picture. This is not something you're going to see in the natural realm. This is going in the heavenly realm. And so here you have this particular angel and Joshua, who represents Israel, standing before the Lord, and all of a sudden Satan is standing there. But notice why he's standing there. He's standing there to do what? To accuse him. He's standing there to accuse Israel and to justify why Israel shall remain or should remain in Babylonian captivity. How many know that's the spirit of the devil, is an accuser? Then the Lord said to Satan, I love this part, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem or Israel rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? In other words, what God is telling Satan, get out of the way. They may be in captivity, but I'm going to snatch them out of the fire. How many know God can snatch you out of some stuff? I'm telling you, when an attack comes against you, God can snatch you out of it. When the doctor say it's going to take 6 months or maybe a year, God can snatch you out of it. Don't ever limit God. Don't ever let the report of a human being be exalted above the report of God. Hallelujah. You don't ever give up because of what man say. You don't ever give up because what the company is going through. God can snatch you out of some stuff. God can turn stuff around, I'm telling you. You have to wait on him. You have to pray. You have to intercede. And you may have to fast. But all of a sudden, God turned that thing around. In your favor. Hallelujah. That's why we love that song. Turn it around. I want you to grab a revelation. This is John is seeing this vision of what is happening in heaven and the conflict that is taking place. And the Bible clearly says that he was put out from heaven. And then what we have to grab. Now, how does that fit us? That's the devil coming against Israel. Coming against Job, but how does that fit us? Well, Ephesians 6, 10 and 12 says this. For my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm telling you what, there are some wiles of the devil. You say, what does that mean? The cunning, crafty, trickery, deception of Satan. The strategies of the devil. The devil is your enemy. When you name the name of Jesus, you become an enemy to Satan. As long as you don't name the name of Jesus, he's cool with you. Why? You are riding the boat that he's directed. But when you name the name of Christ and become born again, the Bible says in Colossians 1:13, you and I are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You didn't just decide to get saved. God snatched you out of darkness. God planted you in a new kingdom now. And now you got to learn how to live in this kingdom. Hallelujah. And the sad tragedy is that there are Christians in the kingdom and don't know how to live like they're kingdom knights. Part of a different family, come from a different line now. There's a bloodline running through you, and it's not mom and daddy. It's the blood of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes all you can declare is I'm pleading the blood of my King. For the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Notice, that's conflict. Notice, the Bible says you're not wrestling against human figures. You're not wrestling against people. There's some wiles of the devil you're contending with. Not physically wrestling, but there's conflict. And this conflict is against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against what? Spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly place. Notice, spiritual hosts. That means that spirits join together. They unite together to come against our lives. Remember when Jesus cast that spirit out, say, when an unclean spirit go out of a person, they go to dry places looking for somewhere. And then when they can't find a place, they come back. And if they find that place empty, they said, the Bible say he brought seven more wicked than himself. What they did? Hosts. Remember Legion? When Jesus set him free, what are your name? Legion. That means there's many of us. But with Jesus, I don't care how many it is, they got to come. Hallelujah. I say when Jesus is with you, it does not matter how many may be against you. They all got to go out the same way. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you got Christ in your life, you're not afraid of no host to come against you. Get this. All you got to do is know that one word from God changes the whole scene. Billy Graham said this, I have discovered that just because we grow weaker physically as we age, it doesn't mean that we must grow weaker spiritually. He hit the nail on the head. Get this, your spiritual power never becomes subject to your human ability. Your body can get frail. Age can start kicking in. And I know some of us don't age well. We try to fight it. We try to do whatever we can. But I'm telling you, Father Time will walk you down. And that's not negative. That's just the human process. So some of you think you're still 25 and you're 55. No. I don't care how you hang with your daughter. And somebody tell you, oh, y'all look like sisters. Y'all not sisters. I'm just showing you. You can fix it up on the outside, but you can't change the reality that things change. But victorious living requires a discerning of Satan's deceptive strategy through the world. Michael in the Bible is the archangel who is assigned to protect Israel. So what we're looking at here is a time in the tribulation where God, during this time, God's got a special plan he's implementing for the nation of Israel. Now, listen now, in your personal time, read Matthew 24 and read Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 37, because this is not the church. The church is not going to go through the tribulation. So when you read Matthew 24, the Bible teaches us that when Jesus come, he's going to come as a thief in the night. And it used the example of Noah and Lot. That Noah was working and hearing from God and people were living all kinds of lives. But the day that Noah stepped on that boat, how many know all hell broke loose? That flood could not come till Noah closed the door. Sodom and Gomorrah could not be destroyed until Lot got out. So when God raptured the church, watch out world. Tribulation is coming to the world. But during this period in Revelation, God's going to be doing something with Israel. And I believe this is where Israel is going to get a revelation of the blood of Jesus, of the word of God, and what it means to surrender to that blood. Because right now, Israel, they are embracing the old covenant, but they are not embracing the Messiah, even though they are God's chosen people. I mean, when you read Matthew, the Bible says literally they're going to be one person working by one person, and one person going to see the person go away. Now get this, the Bible said there's going to be two people laying in the bed, and one going to go, another one staying. Listen, I'm telling you, that's not going to happen. It's going, the Bible says it's going to be like lightning. It looked like it's over here, but it's flashing over there. So when Jesus come back, how many know it's going to happen instantly? Nobody going to have time to run in the house and get some. Read Matthew. You'll see it. The Bible says you don't go from the rooftop thinking you got time to go get something. You're going to be getting up out of here. I thank God for the rapture of the church. But then in Matthew, you know what he tell us? Just be ready. Don't worry about the day. Don't worry about the time. The Bible says nobody know the day. Nobody know the hour. But Jesus said, be ready. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm ready. See, that's all I want to know. I'm ready. I'm ready because of the blood of Christ over my sins. I'm ready because I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ready because I'm doing everything right. I'm not ready because just, I'm ready because I'm covered under the blood. Oh, my God. If you ain't ready and you riding in the car and you got saved people driving, you may want to check more than your seatbelt. If you riding on mom and daddy faith, you may want to get yourself together today, because when the rapture come, we up out of here. And you may look over at the driver's seat and they're gone. We don't have to worry about the day or the hour. No man know that. So when they start prophesying the Lord going to come back in 25 hours, that's a lie from the devil. You don't need to buy the book, and you don't need to go around talking about so-and-so said. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But if you read Matthew 24, it can happen instantly for the church now. I'm telling you, I'm ready. I ain't ready because I'm no preacher. I'm ready because I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved. So, okay, there go Michael, and then these angels, there's conflict going on. And we see in verse 8, the Bible said, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. In other words, at this point, guess what? Satan has no more access to come to heaven. And then verse number 9, so the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called who? The devil and Satan, who deceives what? The whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels was cast out what? Now, Satan's character is identified throughout the Bible with various names. And here we get the name devil, which means accuser or slander. And then Satan means adversary. So, saints, I think you notice that as an accuser, it is the sins of the tongue that we have to be careful. Because it is so easy for us to begin to do what? To slander one another. And at that time, what we're doing, we are allowing the devil to use us to speak his language code. Because he is an accuser of the brethren. You know what he does to us? He stands there before Jesus and he literally says, look at that Christian. Look at that one right there. Look what they're doing. And Jesus just smiles at him. Because no, I don't look at them, I look at me. They're covered under my blood. I'm telling you, the devil can't accuse us anymore. It doesn't have no power because our lives are covered under the blood. Do Christians sin? Yes! You're still in a human suit. But when we sin, 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. However, his strategy on earth will be that of a deceiver. You got to understand what that means. John 8:44, give me a few minutes. It said, you belong to your father. This is what Jesus said to these religious people. You belong to your father who? The devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of lies. Jesus is speaking to religious people, but they are so deceived. When Satan deceived people, they don't know they're deceived. There are three primary ways that Satan deceives the world, as well as the church. One of them is through pleasure. That's how he deceives us. It feels good. It tastes good. It must be good. He deceives us through beauty. Wow. Look at that. And he deceives us through good without God. It is the strategy from the beginning of the fall of man. In Genesis 3 and 6, listen what happened with the woman, with Eve. When the woman saw that the tree was what? good for food. What's that? Pleasure. The tree that God told her not to touch. But when the devil started having dialogue with her in her mind, she saw that, wow, this tree is good for food. And that it was a what? It was a delight to the eyes. What's that? The eyes. And that the tree was desirable to make one what? Wise. In other words, it'll make me better. And how many know there are people today deceived because they think being good or doing good is going to get them in heaven. I'm telling you, people start talking about, oh, they did this and they did that. Those good things don't get you into heaven. Well, I'm not a bad person. I try to treat everybody right. That doesn't get you into heaven. But the world is deceived because they think good deeds should qualify them to get into heaven. You don't get into heaven because you've been good. You get into heaven because you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Romans 10:3. Notice what Paul said about toward the Jews. He said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish what? Their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto what? The right. They went about establishing what? Their own righteousness. How many know the world we live in now think because people are good, they go into heaven. The last thing is that victorious living requires a winning strategy for all believers. Now in verse 9, the Bible clearly lets us know who this deceiver is. He's Satan. This dragon is the devil. He was cast to the earth. And the angels was cast out with him. When the Bible speaks of heaven, it speaks of various realms of heaven. So when we talk about the atmospheric realm, we don't call it heaven, but the Bible sees that as a form of heaven. And above the atmospheric realm, where we have the planets and all that, the Bible sees that as a form of heaven. But then there is the highest of heaven, and that is the throne room of God. That's where God is. So in verse number 10, the Bible says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been what? Cast down. In the middle of the tribulation, God is literally going to cast him down. He's not going to have any more access into heaven. And verse 11 say, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not what? Love their lives to death. Now remember, I'm talking about Israel here. Israel, the people who provided us the covenant and became a bridge that we crossed to Christ, now becomes a bridge they too will find during the middle of the tribulation period. Now, I know there's a political side to Israel. I don't endorse that political side, but there's a prophetic side to Israel that Christians cannot deny. We got the covenants from them. They were the ones that God started the whole plan of redemption. It is out of the seed of Abraham that Christ came. Even though they haven't received the Messiah, God is going to bring them in. He's going to engraft them in. They're going to come to a place during the tribulation period where they're going to get a revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Oh, thank God for that. They at this time will learn the faith strategy for their victory. And that faith strategy that Israel will learn is the same strategy that we use today. What is that strategy? The blood of Jesus. Why does devil can't accuse me? Because of the blood. And because of the word of God is the sword of the spirit. That's how we fight the devil. We don't fight the devil. Well, okay, devil, you come on now. And no, you can't fight him like that. You fight him with the word. You keep saying what the words say. I don't care if you're dealing with something in your health. You keep saying what the words say. That's your spiritual prescription. What you're doing every day, I'm reading the word. And you fight him because he knows there is no turning back in you. No matter how difficult life gets, you are not going to deny Jesus. No matter how much suffering you go through, you are not going to cancel out Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. We're located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.